Lord, just one touch from you. God, that's what we need. God, just touch us where we're at today. Touch our heart, touch our mind. God, not just a portion, but fullness. May we see you fully at work in our life. Touch us, transform us. We worship and praise you. Father, we just thank you for what you're doing in this service this morning. Thank you for meeting us. Thanks for your work. And Father, we just invite you into the rest of this service this morning that we can just say thank you, that you come to our life, you touch us. You're involved in our life. So Lord, we just pray in the remaining moments of this service this morning, lead us, guide us, speak to us, Lord, from your word. Guide us. We thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated, and King's Kids, you are dismissed. You may go.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. I just realized looking at that picture, I know why I don't grow my hair out. I'd look like that guy. so bad. It is such a privilege to be with you this morning. And so welcome to those not only here, but those watching online. We're grateful that you have taken time to be with us today. There's hundreds of places you could be, and we're grateful that you chose here today. And this is a special day as we wrap up our series on the Lord's Prayer. And I just got a couple thoughts before jumping into our closing message of our series. Stacy stole my thunder. I just wanted to compliment the teenagers for sitting up front. Meant to do it last week, and actually I forgot. So when you think we're not watching, we are, just like you're watching us. I get it. But seriously, grateful for you. I want to say one quick word on the board nomination process. So the list you see in your bulletin, that insert, that's our full membership list. And so it's, I guess as we wanted to approach it this year, we just want to try to do something that's just completely transparent and clear. And so honestly, that's where I would say it's not everybody that's eligible because we have qualifications and whatnot, but it is all of our members. And so part of this is after you nominate, and by the way, you can nominate more than one and just do a separate form for each person you would like to nominate. One of the parts about this, though, that I just encourage you is really pray about it. Don't just do a quick decision. One of the parts that, because we will be filling one position, Andy Lindstedt has to go off the board. And term limits and whatnot, and so it'll be a new position. And Andy, grateful for you, and there'll be more words later. I don't want to start to cry, but I'm really grateful for each of our board. We have a special board, and just watched it at work in our last board meeting. The unity. That we can express stuff, and it, honestly, it's part of what attracted us to your board in the interviewing process. We have a special board, and really, this is the part, too, where I really, really asking you to pray when you nominate someone, because to introduce someone into the unity that God has put on that board, and we know he's sovereign and will, but that's where do your diligence as you do it. Just don't do a quick thing because it's you think it's the popular person, but really pray through and do it, and I know you will. So that's where just that thoughts by after March 10th, after March 10th, we do have a nominating committee that will work with Pastor Stacy and I. That is Brad Martin and Pastor Diana and Henry Moan. Henry's the representative from the board, and so that's where we'll look through, and that's where if there is somebody that we find because of attendance, because of some of the other qualifications out there that we lay out there as a church, that would not enable the person to have their name stand at that point, we'll communicate with that person, that individual. So, cool. So that's where excited for this next season and what God has for us. Which leads us to this morning. As we jump into our final message in the series, I have so loved this series. Honestly, I hate that it's done. But the great part is the prayer side of this is not done. The teaching side might be, but the living it out is totally different. And that leads me to the title of our message this morning, After Amen. And so as we jump into it, our series today, let me bring attention to somebody that you're familiar with. To call George Frideric Handel one of the history's greatest composers is an understatement. Beethoven himself said of Handel, "I bow to the knee." See, Handel wrote 42 operas, 26 oratorios, 120 cantatas. But at the age of 56, he was well past his prime in composing, and he was depressed. He also was in debt. A recent stroke had also limited the use of his right hand. So as he was struggling to stay relevant, which is ironic because he's about to write one of the most timeless pieces in music history. On August 21st, 1741, Handel started composing, and for the next 3 weeks, he would not leave his house, in fact, rarely leaving his composing seat. It's quite remarkable. And then, in that 21 days, he would emerge with perhaps the most performed piece of music in Western history. It's a 260-page composition called The Messiah, or Handel's Messiah, as you're familiar with it. On the last page, he wrote the initials SDG, Soli Deo Gloria. In other words, it says, "To God be the glory." See, the opening act of this incredible song begins with Old Testament prophecy. And it's interesting, there's more than 300 Old Testament prophecies that are fulfilled in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. The middle act of Handel's Messiah, the commentary of the composition, is a commentary on the passion of Christ. And the final act is a celebration of the risen Christ in the fact that he shall reign forever and ever. Now, that's the backstory. I feel like Paul Harvey for the older generation. Sorry. Now for the rest of the story. Because the rest of the story is that Messiah debuted on April 13th, 1742. It was at a benefit concert. The concert was raised 400 pounds, and those 400 pounds were used to set free 142 men from prison. And what's amazing is that's just the tip of the iceberg. In his will, Handel left the Messiah to a hospital in London so that more people could be served. Why? Because Handel wasn't a musician who followed Christ. He was a Christ follower who happened to write music. Music was his passion, but the gospel was his mission. So my challenge to you today is as we're going through the Lord's Prayer, I pray that as we begin to be taught anew of what this prayer is all about, that we will follow Handel's steps to create a movement. A movement that in its wake, in the way we live, touches the lives of others. One of Handel's biographers said that the Messiah has fed the hungry, clothed the naked, fostered the orphan, and more than any other musical production. Musicologist Percy Young said, perhaps the works of no other composer has so largely contributed to the relief of human suffering than that. I say hallelujah. So why do I tell you the story, and what does that have to do with the Lord's Prayer? I know you're asking it. Well, I'm just going to shoot straight. There's a part when you need to pray, but there's also a part when we pray that we just need the next step, which is just to get to the amen. There's parts you can pray about it and pray about it, but then there's just a point you've got to get to the amen. And amen is not the end of the prayer, it's the beginning of obedience. Amen isn't the ending of our prayerful heart, it's just the beginning of what we step out to do. So at some point, you have to stop praying and start composing, regardless of what you feel like your conditions are, your limitations. Start composing. You need to stop praying and start giving. You need to stop praying and start serving. You need to stop praying. Because if we stop praying and start obeying, because if all we do is pray, then without acting, it's basically hypocrisy. The last thing this world needs to see, the last thing Marinette and Menominee needs to see, is more Christian hypocrites. But dedicated followers. Followers that will follow Jesus through everything. See, that's part of kingdom living. That is part of what will usher in a great awakening, a revival in this area. Because praying without acting, there's no other name to it than disobedience. See, 2 weeks ago, Pastor Stacy shared about forgiveness, and that prayer of forgiveness is a two-sided coin. One side, it's God, forgive me of my sins. But at some point, we got to flip the coin and say, God, help me to forgive others. Some points, it's just not, when we flip the coin in our prayers, it's just not only, God, forgive me of my sins, but God, forgive those who trespass against me. It's flipping the coin. And the reason so many people get stuck spiritually is because they prayed the first half of the prayer and not living out the second. So let me flip the coin in a different direction. Maybe heads would be pray like it depends on God, and tails, it depends on you. It's living both. So here's my fears. We want to pray this prayer. We want to pray about it, but too often we just want to be done with it. Well, I prayed about it, and then we forget about it. It's the reason too many get stuck. See, we want God to answer our prayers without personal involvement. Yes, we want God to answer our prayers, but without getting our hands dirty, we're going to miss it. When you pray, and I'm going to tell you, when you pray, 9 times out of 10, God will find a way to make you part of the answer to the prayer that you're praying. It's one of the things that Pastor Stacy and I loved about our time in Youth Alive, was you had a generation of students that would pray, God, give us a revival, help us reach our generation. But they wouldn't stop there. That's why they're some of the greatest heroes to me, is that they would pray, God, bring a revival to our generation, but let it start with me. I don't care if people would say I'm a freak of Jesus. I wouldn't care what people will say. I'm going to live for him and live a kingdom life. That's why I love this generation. We need to be able to get to it. Pastor Craig Groeschel, in his book, Power to Change, shares 3 mindsets that Christians use when they adapt when it comes to change. But I also see that these same mindsets also occur because in many ways, Jesus is giving us a new paradigm on how to pray. And that requires change. If we've been going through this series, and I'm just telling you, I'm with you, or I'm praying you're doing this too. Lord, help change my prayer life. I don't have it all together. Teach me new things. So as we've been going through the Lord's Prayer, I pray that change has been part of what you're thinking. How do I get better? How do I grow? How do I approach this? Because so many points, if we want to see change occur, we need to be able to have the power to change. And I love what Pastor Craig shares, because honestly, these mindsets I see are so real. 3 mindsets that Christians have with change. First is God, then me, is one of the mindsets. See, 2 of these are wrong. 1 of them is right. See, the God then me, the first wrong mindset. Many people believe when it comes to change that it's going to be God then me. God begins to speak. He begins to initiate, drawing himself to us. His Holy Spirit woos us. His grace changes us. We're saved by grace. But then that's kind of where it gets left. We're heaven bound, and now I need to make the change. And this is where we start to make statements like, well, I'm trying to stop losing my temper with my kids. I'm trying. We'll make statements like, I'm trying to stop cussing, darn it. And some of you might use a little different French word for that. And we have our parts where we're saying we're going to change. And that's why it's a faulty mindset. God, then me, and we think that we have to will it to be done. God's got me in the direction, now I need to make it happen. Second mindset, God, not me. While the first one is all about our effort, the second one is almost absolves us of any effort or responsibility. See, there are some Christians who have this mindset that it's God, not me. It shifts responsibility to God, that he has to do everything and I don't have to do anything. It shifts it all to God. For example, if it's God, not me, and you don't like your job, then you can just say, well, I'm going to quit my job for the glory of God, and God will bring me a new one. I don't advise that, by the way. So many points, we will just say God will eventually just take care of it. God, not me, is a wrong mindset. The right mindset is this: God through me. See, this is the correct mindset. It's God working in us, changing us, which changes the situation around us. We aren't trying to change a behavior, but God is changing and transforming us. It's more than behavior. It's a heart change. It's an inward change. See, it's we're praying, God, reign in my life, in my heart, in my mind. Let your Holy Spirit empower and change me. See, it's the Spirit empowerment, not my willpower. But it's allowing God to work through you. The Lord's Prayer is a new pattern, a new way to say that God transformed me. See, it takes about 17 seconds to pray the Lord's Prayer, but it takes a lifetime to learn it and live it. It takes us, and so over the past 7 weeks, we've been unpacking this prayer, and it begins with the salutation of our Father who art in heaven, and we're praying to that Heavenly Father who's uncomprehensibly powerful. He's loving. He's grace. He's forgiving. His forgiveness is beyond comprehension. We don't pray in our name. We pray in the name of our Heavenly Father. And then it's followed by 6 petitions that we've looked at. Hallowed be your name. Man, Lord, how holy your name is. There's over 400 names for God in Scripture. Each one reveals a part of his personality. Each one gives us a dimension of his character. Your kingdom come. We're praying that God's plans and purposes would prevail. Thirdly, we will be done on what will be done on earth as in heaven. We pray this part of the prayer is praying precisely what Jesus prayed when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, which we'll be celebrating in a few weeks. Do you remember what he said as he prayed? He's praying, Lord, if it be your will, take this cup from me. It was a cup of suffering, and he knew was about to happen, but he prayed a prayer, and man, and I've learned to pray this prayer. It takes a little bit of courage for your will to be done. Give us this day our daily bread. We're praying for God's provision. Forgive us our debts as we've also forgiven our debtors. It's a petition for forgiveness. Lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We're praying that God would guide us and that God would be our GPS to protect us into a path of righteousness. Empower us to resist the devil. So, and this is probably where the original prayer ends. In most of our modern translations, it is where the prayer ends. But there are some translations that, like if you look at the New King James, it goes on to this. So look at it in Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. At the end, it says, "And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Many reasons why it is not included in many of the modern translations is because that part, that ending part, was not found on some of the original manuscripts. At some point later, after the original manuscripts, "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, amen," was added. Many Bible scholars, that doxology, many Bible scholars will tell you that they feel like the ending was a little too abrupt. And so this doxology, in a sense, is an amendment. But I challenge you, don't let, because you'll see a footnote in most study Bibles that'll talk about this, about it not being found in the original manuscripts. And I just want to bring this to your attention just enough that it doesn't stay as a footnote in your Bible. Because when we're really looking at a pattern of praying, when we're looking at completing this pattern that Jesus is teaching, this is where I feel like it's enough. I need to bring it to your attention so you don't forget this too. Because when you're coming out of dealing with a heavy topic like forgiveness and unforgiveness, when you're coming out of spiritual warfare about temptations and asking God to deliver you from the evil one, this is where I feel like it's so appropriate that this gets added in, because you know what? Satan shouldn't have the last word. He shouldn't be the last thought of our prayers. This directs us back to worship to the Holy One that this is all about. In fact, it's very keeping when we look at this doxology here in this verse, and it's very keeping to other parts in Scripture. David echoes in many of his prayers. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11. "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord. You are exalted as the head above all." This doxology can be repeated. It echoes what the angels and elders were singing in Revelation chapter 5. Look at it. Verses 11 through 14, the angels say, "Then I looked up and I heard around the throne the living creatures and elders and the voice of many angels, numbering myriads and myriads of thousands, saying with a loud voice," and this is what the angels say, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And I heard every creature in heaven, on earth, and under earth, and in the sea, and all of them are saying, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing, honor, glory, and might forever and ever.' And the four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the elders fell down and worshiped." So that leads us right back to this doxology. "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." So when we pray that, what are we praying? What are we actually saying here? Here's what I think. I think we're praying that God would advance his kingdom. I think we're praying that God would manifest his power. I think we're praying that God would put his glory on display. See, I also believe we're praying, "Amen. God, so be it. God, so let it be. Let it be that your kingdom advance, your power would be shown, your glory would be displayed. It's really part of worship and prayer. Let it be in me." How can this happen? Well, it happens when you and me, when we start to act in faith, one act of obedience at a time. One act of kindness, one act of courage. Please hear me. This is the highest privilege that we get to be, is we get to be the hands and feet of Jesus. So let me give you a little formula in closing this weekend. And so take, if you're taking notes, it's a pretty simple formula that I feel will help us live this out. Ability plus attitude plus anointing equals impact. Pretty simple. Ability plus attitude plus anointing equals impact. So you've got to cultivate your God-given ability. And this is where this coming Saturday is a great opportunity for you to start to discover it in our Welcome Home class. We take a moment in this class that you can start to look and really understand your particular personality. And so this Welcome Home class, if you want to know more about Calvary Church, know about what we believe, to join a ministry, to become part of a ministry team here, as well as to become a member, you go through this class. But part of this class, this is part of what we'll do, is we start looking at the God-given personality that you have. There's what makes you you, so that you can embrace you. When you understand yourself, this is one of the great leadership aspects. You will only grow in your leadership as much as you have the ability to know about your self-awareness of who you are and what makes you tick. And this class will help you start to understand your personality, but it'll also help you start to discover your spiritual gifts. So when you put those two together, you start to discover your ability. Man, I'm able to do this. Hey, God has gifted me to do this. And so if Calvary Church is your home, I encourage you to go through this class. So if you, those of you who are already members, you're fine. You don't have to go back through this. You did one with Pastor Tim, and I heard some of you had homework. I don't do homework. but I encourage you, if you're new, to join in this Saturday, this upcoming Saturday at 9 a.m. Make sure you sign up. There's a QR code in the bulletin to do so. But after you have your ability, then you got to bring your A-game attitude. And what's an A-game attitude? It's exactly Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Look at it. You must have the same attitude that Jesus Christ had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges and he took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. See, that's the attitude, to humble ourselves, no matter what, to serve God's purposes. But it's just not ability, it's just not attitude. There's just an anointing to this equation. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, but you have received the Holy Spirit and he lives within you, so you don't need anyone to teach you what is true, for the Spirit teaches you everything that you need to know, and what he teaches is true. It is not a lie. So just as he has taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ. See, the Spirit's anointing teaches you about all things, not some things, all things. Listen. Listen in. So whether you're a doctor, a lawyer, a teacher, an accountant, a plumber, a contractor, a consultant, a mechanic, a chef, a lobbyist, whatever you do, God wants to help you to do what you do beyond your natural ability. He wants to empower you. The Holy Spirit, his anointing, is for everyone, and it's the difference between the best you can do and the best God can do. God wants to help you to go from an area of just where you're living, the best of what you can do, to the best that he can do through you. See, God's inviting us into a new pattern. It's a new level of intimacy and power with him to help us make this prayer more than a teaching series, but a practical way to make this at life in you. We did some following resources in your bulletin this morning. We developed a prayer guide off this prayer. And so in your bulletin, you've got this. And I encourage you to take advantage of it. And so that we can, as you... many points when you get into your prayer time, sometimes words just escape you. And because of that awkwardness where you feel like, well, sometimes I just don't know what to say, then pull this out. Because if you spent just a few minutes on each part of the Lord's Prayer, you could easily spend an hour easily. And so just this is a way of helping equip you to just pray some bullet prayers and help us begin to usher in the next season of what God wants to do at Calvary. In fact, coming out of this prayer series, this series has really challenged us, where I really scrapped some of my direction of teaching that we were going to do this year. I've just had to just go, I need to set this aside, God. You're teaching us too much. That you really, what you really have for us. So the next several weeks before Easter, Palm Sunday and Easter, we'll do a mini-series on how to readdress and reapproach some basic ordinances and basic things that can really help us take next steps coming out of this prayer season. And so Pastor Stacy and I, starting a week from tomorrow, so the soup and pie auction is safe on this, all right? So a week from tomorrow, March 4th, Pastor Stacy and I want to call Calvary Church to a time of prayer and fasting for 10 days. How you fast, we'll deal more. Next week I'll actually speak on it. So I'm not saying for 10 days, unless the Lord speaks to you, eat nothing. No. Maybe it's missing a meal. Maybe it's getting rid of just the caffeine drinks for 10 days. And we'll walk through some of this next week. But whatever God speaks to you, fast something. For 10 days, we just want to pray, because there's parts, and we'll discover that after this moment where Jesus is talking about the Lord's Prayer, he immediately gave some instructions on fasting and prayer. Interesting. That didn't miss our beat when Stacy and I were looking at this passage going, yeah, we can't stop here. We need to start a rhythm that periodically, definitely once a year as a church, we will pray and fast together. And so for 10 days, would you pray with us? And in fact, on your prayer guide, if you look under Your Kingdom Come and see the specific areas, it's the third bullet point down on the guide. Those are what I would want to say during this prayer and fasting. Focus on those areas. Areas of, let's pray for unity for Calvary. And even beyond that, unity of the church, capital C, in this area. We need to see ministers meeting together. And honestly, it's sad that that isn't occurring. And it's not because people, I don't think, want to. It's busyness. And some points, though, it's also they don't find it important enough to put it on their calendar. So God's got to do the work on this. Pray that God will start to put it on the hearts of pastors that we meet together regularly and pray and begin to work together. But also spiritual awakening across our area and our state of Wisconsin and Michigan. Pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Begin to pray for healings and signs and wonders in our services. Would you pray with us on that? If we're going to see that happen, it's going to be because we prayed and fasted. There's a power in this. Repentance and salvation and water baptisms. Boy, I just pray that God will just arrest hearts when they come into this place. That God convicts of where they stand with him. And we watch salvations take place. But even then, next steps of water baptism, I cannot wait. Just in our last board meeting, we made decisions to get a better portable water baptism setup. I'm telling you, this is like a for me. Is to have water baptisms happen much more regularly than they have. And we've been doing a disservice, and we will up our game. But we need to pray that we watch people come to know Jesus and follow through in the first step of obedience, which is to be baptized. Pray for God's leading in our next youth pastor and children's pastor. Please give us wisdom and discernment on that. People to grow and connect in discipleship and membership and in ministries, our community leaders, schools, students, teachers, and administrators. Pray. Sent an email yesterday to the Peshtigo schools just to offer for Pastor Stacy and I, with the death of a former student tragically a couple days ago. We just said, if you need additional people to come in just to be listeners, we're here. And I hate that I had to send that email without them knowing us personally, because typically those will kind of go, well, I don't know you. How could I trust you? And so that's part of why we want to get connected into the community. But pray for our schools. Students will be hurting from this, especially that knew the student. Family will be hurting for all involved. And so that's where we need to watch God do his work in prayer and fasting. A couple more resources for you. Pray First Bible app. I so encourage you to get this. You can go into almost any Google store, iTunes store. You'll find it anywhere. You can get apps called Pray First. Great church in Alabama, Church of the Highlands, put this out. In fact, they have several prayer models, including the Lord's Prayer, that you could do using the app and help guide you through. In fact, some of their worship, they've actually streamed through the app, so you can have their worship on as you're praying. So it's a very great app. I've used that. They, besides the Lord's Prayer, they've got the Tabernacle Prayer, the Jabez Prayer, which is one of my favorite prayers, and so many other great scriptural prayers. And often points, what I love is there's a part two, as you get more consistent with praying, there's just parts you'll hit a rut where you just feel like, okay, how do I say something new? And this is where this resource is really a great one. Also, the second one, another one, is the YouVersion app. And it's a great Bible app. And if you have not used the YouVersion Bible app, they have thousands of Bible reading plans. It's part of, I use this app literally every single day. I have my readings that I do, reading through the Bible in a year, I use off this app. So every day, I'm just consuming God's word, and there's different ways you can read it, so they got different plans where you can read the Bible in the year chronologically, and they have a whole lot of other shorter Bible plans too, so it's just not for over a year, but thousands of maybe a 1 week, 5 day, 3 and 5 days reading plans, just going through different topics. So phenomenal resource if you've never taken advantage of it. So worship team, if you would come. In closing, I just think, let me ask one question in closing as our worship team comes. So let me ask you this question. What do you need to stop praying about and do something about? What's something that you're praying about that there's parts you just need to step in obedience to do? Please pray and pray some more, because we've got to get to the amen. We've got to live the life after amen. Amen is not the end of our prayer. It's the beginning of obedience of God working through me. He wants to work through you. He wants to work through this church. And we cannot do what God wants to do unless we take the steps. You're the hands and the feet of Christ. And may God give us the courage as we go into this time in this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us our debts, as we've also forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? And I know we may have some here, some watching online, and you're tracking. It's starting to make sense that God hears you when you pray. He may answer your prayers, but where does all of this start? All of this, everything starts when you have determined that you're in your life, that Jesus is the leader of your life and your Savior. It's the only way of salvation for you. So my encouragement to you is there is an act of faith that you've got to step into. Long before this amen of this prayer, you've got to make a commitment to say, God, I'm going to be obedient and know you and walk in relationship with you. And if you're here today and you have not made that decision in your heart and life, just know you can make that decision. And it starts with a simple prayer that will start a whole new step of obedience for you. And it's when you invite Christ in as your leader and Savior of your life. Heavenly Father, I just pray right now in this moment that you'll speak to those individuals, whether they're watching online or here. Maybe it's been a while, Lord, that they've been walking with you, but they know that they're not walking in a relationship with you. But Lord, I just pray right now in this moment, prompt their heart to speak out to you. With everyone saying this with me, praying with this with me, would you pray this out loud? Dear Jesus, thank you for not giving up on me, for loving me. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Trying to do life my way. I want to go your way. Come into my life. Be my Savior and leader of my life. I give it all to you. Create something new in me. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. See, if you prayed that prayer, it's an amazing start of a journey, of a relationship. And if you prayed that prayer this morning, would you make sure you reach out to us either through the Facebook group? You could message us, message the church, or message us online. If you happen to see personally on our Facebook page the service, just reach out to us, message us. We will get resources to you. There's even a place on your bulletin, the communication card, you can tear off and you can leave with one of us. We want to get resources in your hand to help you walk in this new relationship with you and with the Lord. Finally, this morning, this prayer, boy, that first step of obedience. And before going into our informational meeting, I just wanted us to take a moment that we would just say individually, God, help me to get to the amen. Help me to get to amen in my life, that I step out in obedience to you. Because that amen in our prayers is for ourselves, but it's also for our families. It's for Calvary Church. What do you need to stop praying about and do something about? Let God speak to you in this moment. So find a place, find to just close yourself in as we worship, as the team leads us into this song, and we'll come back in a moment. So let's do it.